Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you today?
Good morning. I hope y'all are ready to have your ears and your brains hurt.
I feel like I'm going to like this as a concept today. We're talking weird collaborations, unusual, unexpected, strange collabs. This feels like a world that I'm very happy to be diving into this morning, but I do think it is going to polarize people.
Yeah, what a weird music trend. Like, when you look back on it, occasionally it works. I had to listen, look, for you on y'all's behalf, I had to listen to a whole bunch of horrible, horrible ones. Bryan Adams and J-Lo.
I mean, yeah, weird combo. Weird combo.
Janet Jackson and Cliff Richard.
Wow. That just, no, different genres, different worlds. I mean,
Justin Bieber and Busta Rhymes, please help me, please, people.
Well, none of them have been as strange as the first one we're going to play. Which I'm going to say it now. Rules. Extremely hard.
Yeah, to be honest, okay. I am quite into this.
What are we listening to, Kirsten?
This is the Spice Girls and Pavarotti.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Didn't know I needed that combo in my life.
No.
I'm glad it exists.
I mean... How could she have the guts to sing that in front of Pavarotti?
I think she's doing a great job.
Look, that's a weak voice. That sounds like how I sound this morning.
Oh. I have to say as well, this is an overlooked Spice Girls song that I love very hard.
No, you're right. It is got quite a lovely melody.
I feel like I would put this on at the end of a party.
Here he is. I'm sorry, you cannot tell me this is not amazing.
I don't know. I'm feeling abomination here.
Okay, we need some thoughts coming through on 5395.
Now,
is this the right side of weird?
This was done for a charity like concert.
Okay, so that's contextualizing it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so there's different reasons that these collabs are done. And obviously the worst ones is when we feel manipulated by record companies.
Yeah.
You know, like, they want to put this artist on so they get known by the fans of this artist. And this doesn't feel that way. They weren't trying to get Pavarotti fans for the Spice Girls. They were trying to get a broad swath of music fans.
This feels like one for the mums, you know?
Yeah, for a charity. But you know, you're right, actually, they probably do have a crossover.
I'm absolutely loving this.
Yeah, I'm into it.
It's moving my feelings this morning.
Really? I think you play it at the end of the party so everybody goes home.
No, you play it so everyone's moved.
Viva Forever is one of my favorite Spice Girls tracks. Of all time. But
nice.
it's not the one you play at the party because it's the crying song. It's the crying Spice Girls song. So, someone sticks it in saying John Mayer and pretty much everybody is a weird collaboration.
Yeah.
No, you're right. There are some people that have possibly are collab saturated, let's say.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. Was it
just a dream? It was just a dream.
No day.
I'm really struggling not to sing along this morning.
Well, yeah,
people don't need to hear that.
Do Pavarotti's part.
Pavarotti was shaking at that little vocal run.
He was quaking on the stage.
Someone says Anthrax doing a collab with Public Enemy was a big WTF moment. But it worked, and it defined a new sound.
Well, yes, I do think then some have worked really well. Jay-Z and Linkin Park, their Numb song, that was amazing.
That Lil is Nas a X, huge tune.
Yeah, Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus, Old Town Road. I mean, that changed the world.
Another banger.
Yeah, I like that song.
Okay, as I thought, this is going to split people. Someone says, abomination, and someone says, this is amazing. Of course it's great. Someone else said, this is one of the best things I've ever heard, and I'm offended that you don't like it, Kirsten. Someone else has said, please, please, please don't play that terrible Paul McCartney Kanye song.
Oh my god.
Is that the one that also has Rihanna in it?
Yes, that one
is not good, no. Unfortunately. And it kind of should be, because they're all amazing musicians in their own lanes, and it just did not come together. I hope everyone's got their tissues.
Oh my god, no, yeah, to blow my nose. I think that gave me COVID.
Oh my god, Kirsten!
Alright, moving into a different genre now.
Yeah, like a dedicated this record right here to my main man, Johnny Cash, a real American gangster. I got my nephew Whitey Ford on the guitar. Young Trev on the drums. Grand Ole Opry, here we come. Jack B. Nimble, Jack B. Quick, Jack.
What are we listening to here, Kirsten?
Oh gosh, this is Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson, and
Reed Kings.
Well, yeah, and actually Everlast from House of Pain. Yeah, and what's one, the circle you can draw around the Venn diagram? Weed. Yes, and they came together over their love.
Yeah, you know I got to have that medicine. That prescription medicine, baby. You know, orange, green.
See, I think this really works, and I think it works because Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg both have a sense of humor, and the song is not taking itself especially seriously.
Well, he calls out Johnny Cash on here, and I do like that, because what Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson do is outlaw country. It's not the Nashville mainstream country, and that outlaw is literally something that, you know, the gangster rapper sort of hearkened into, that outlaw gangster as an American trope. And so they both have that in common too.
Yeah, totally. There are some actually bananas ones coming in from the listeners here today. Taylor Swift and The National. That
what?
Is a wild collaboration. Tammy White and Wynette and the KLF was a great collab. That does go extremely hard.
Oh, I'm hurting.
Someone says, as seen on Juice TV, Janis Joplin and Tom Jones, not a happy sight.
Oh, my gosh. Get the fuck out, girl, and get my money. Apparently, Willie Nelson has famously said that Snoop is the only person that could outsmoke him. And they famously spent, and he waxed poetic around the time they spent in Amsterdam and went to KFC. Oh,
imagine God. Running into Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg in Amsterdam. We've had a few texts about the KLF collab there. Didn't Robert Pattinson play guitar or bass on a Death Grips song? I'm going to have to Google that. That is wild if true.
He is a musician.
On a Death Grips track, though, that would be wild.
Yeah.
I mean, all Death Grips collabs are a bit bananas, though. That's kind of the point.
I guess to get the joke, you need to know both artists and both genre around it, you know, so that you can get... Oh, no, this one's iconic.
We've had so many texts about this already.
This did change the world, this one.
So why did it change the world?
Because rap had been sort of bubbling underground and doing okay. MTV, which was sort of where you saw your music videos in the 80s, was hating on rap. And then so Aerosmith had already kind of faded out. But apparently that opening beat... rappers had been using it for ages anyway.
True.
So it was this weird natural collab where the video kind of played up this rock versus rap thing that had been going on in like radio and MTV and record labels. And it brought rap to this whole new sort of white rock audience, which is, you know, how it became the biggest thing it is today.
That's so interesting. It is Run DMC and Aerosmith for anyone trying to rack their mental memory to get this one out.
1986. And now the real nerds will know there's this dude, Rick Rubin, who produced a lot of the early hip hop, and he was a rocker guy. And, you know, you can hear it sort of like in the Beastie Boys, that there's this weird corner where hard rock and rap kind of mix, and a lot of rappers have sort of played with that. Well, and then, oh my God, well, then we got the rock rap and the OOs.
So it really was a thing. We've had quite a few texts come in about that, like the early 2000s, the late 90s, this like rock and rap collaboration. I guess that Linkin Park, Jay-Z collab was sort of the tail end of that, but
those are the kids, wild time. Well, those are the kids that grew up on this.
Yes.
You know, that in MTV, they were listening to both. And they were like, why not have both? But yeah, that beat, you could hear like DJs and rappers really, you know, picking that clean beat.
Oh, hot
and
out.
The guitar riff. The riff.
I mean, this rules, to be honest. It's kind of a classic for a reason, and you hear it at every sports game. You hear it at every sort of like big stadium event.
And you know, rock and rap share misogyny, bragging.
All genres share those things, to be fair.
They're both pretty good at it.
50 Cent and Trent Reznor in the club.
No,
Axl Rose and Elton John singing Bohemian Rhapsody at a Freddie Mercury tribute.
Oh my God.
Okay, now I'm nauseous. Please stop it.
Metallica and Lou Reed. This person says it's a train wreck you don't want to get involved in. I would disagree. I think it's the right type of train wreck. Get on that train. And we've had a few texts about the whole Judgment Night soundtrack as well. That, yeah, sits firmly in this world.
Well, remember when Eminem and Elton John did Eminem's song together, because Eminem had been getting a lot of flack for being homophobic. And so that was like such a big statement for Elton John to sort of agree to work with him and say, you know, I understand your work and what you're trying to do. So, I guess the other reason that the collabs is why they do it. You know, is it a creative choice, the artist choice? This one was definitely creative, I think, by Rick Rubin and a little bit the band, you know, liking the sample, but had no idea that you would literally, like what they do in the videos, break down the walls.
It's one of those things, isn't it, where it's like, you can't exactly pinpoint why it's going to work, but there's a variety of reasons why people might decide to get on board with a song like this and not get on board with something that hasn't quite sold it in the same way. Someone says Shirley Bassey and Propeller Heads. That one worked really well, apparently.
Okay. And sometimes, you know, they've never even been in the studio together, but sometimes the fun part is imagining them hanging out together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how did that go down?
We've had several texts about the Sonic Youth and Cypress Hill song as well, which is actually a bit of a BFM classic, to be honest. Enjoy having this riff stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
Yep.
Thank you for that one, Kirsten. I've enjoyed this thoroughly. I think, generally, people are on board with it. Everyone's got their favourite, is what I think we can learn from this morning. Everyone's got their favourite weird collab. Where are we going to be going next week?
Queer Country.
Queer Country. All right, that sounds fun. Yes. See you there. Thanks, Kirsten.
Okay. All right, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.